your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God. You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug. Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
That's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Good evening, and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministries Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Mackie, and I'm your teacher for the book of Leviticus. We thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in, and we ask that you let someone else know about this Bible reading class. We will open with prayer, and following prayer, we will begin the Bible reading portion of this class. After that, we will open the phone lines for you to answer the review questions and make comments. All you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue, and you can find the review questions at rfcm.org. We ask that you please keep all background noise to zero, if possible. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We ask now that the Holy Spirit illuminate your word for us to understand so we can live it out in our everyday lives, Father God. Again, we ask you to bless us, O Lord, so that we understand it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we will listen to chapters 21 through 24, and we'll see you on the other side.
Chapter 21. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the priests to avoid making themselves ceremonially unclean by touching a dead relative, unless it is a close relative, mother or father, son or daughter, brother or virgin sister, who was dependent because she had no husband. As a husband among his relatives, he must not defile himself. The priests must never shave their heads, trim the edges of their beards, or cut their bodies. They must be set apart to God as holy and must never dishonor his name. After all, they are the ones who present the offerings to the Lord by fire, providing God with his food, and they must remain holy. The priests must not marry women defiled by prostitution or women who have been divorced, for the priests must be set apart to God as holy. You must treat them as holy because they offer up food to your God. You must consider them holy because I, the Lord, am holy, and I make you holy. If a priest's daughter becomes a prostitute, defiling her father's holiness as well as herself, she must be burned to death. The high priest, who has had the anointing oil poured on his head and has been ordained to wear the special priestly garments, must never let his hair hang loose or tear his clothing. He must never defile himself by going near a dead person, even if it is his father or mother. He must not desecrate the sanctuary of his God by leaving it to attend his parents' funeral, because he has been made holy by the anointing oil of his God. I am the Lord. The high priest must marry a virgin. He must not marry a widow, a divorced woman, or a woman defiled by prostitution. She must be a virgin from his own clan, that he may not dishonor his descendants among the members of his clan, because I, the Lord, have made him holy. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that in all future generations, his descendants who have physical defects will not qualify to offer food to their God. No one who has a defect may come near to me, whether he is blind or lame, stunted or deformed, or has a broken foot or hand, or has a humped back, or is a dwarf, or has a defective eye, or has oozing sores or scabs on his skin, or has damaged testicles. Even though he is a descendant of Aaron, his physical defects disqualify him from presenting offerings to the Lord by fire. Since he has a blemish, he may not offer food to his God. However, he may eat from the food offered to God, including the holy offerings and the most holy offerings. Yet because of his physical defects, he must never go behind the inner curtain or come near the altar, for this would desecrate my holy places. I am the Lord who makes them holy. So Moses gave these instructions to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites. Chapter 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to treat the sacred gifts that the Israelites set apart for me with great care, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Remind them that if any of their descendants are ceremonially unclean when they approach the sacred food presented by the Israelites, they must be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. If any of the priests have a contagious skin disease or any kind of discharge that makes them ceremonially unclean, they may not eat the sacred offerings until they have been pronounced clean. If any of the priests become unclean by touching a corpse, or are defiled by an emission of semen, or by touching a creeping creature that is unclean, or by touching someone who is ceremonially unclean for any reason, they will remain defiled until evening. They must not eat any of the sacred offerings until they have purified their bodies with water. When the sun goes down, they will be clean again and may eat the sacred offerings. After all, this food has been set aside for them. The priest may never eat an animal that has died a natural death or has been torn apart by wild animals, for this would defile them. I am the Lord. Warn all the priests to follow these instructions carefully, otherwise they will be subject to punishment and die for violating them. I am the Lord who makes them holy. No one outside a priest's family may ever eat the sacred offerings, even if the person lives in a priest's home or is one of his hired servants. However, if the priest buys slaves with his own money, they may eat of his food. And if his slaves have children, they also may share his food. If a priest's daughter marries someone outside the priestly family, she may no longer eat the sacred offerings. But if she becomes a widow or is divorced and has no children to support her, and she returns to live in her father's home, she may eat her father's food again. But other than these exceptions, only members of the priest's families are allowed to eat the sacred offerings. Anyone who eats the sacred offerings without realizing it must pay the priest for the amount eaten, plus an added penalty of 20%. no one may defile the sacred offerings brought to the Lord by the Israelites by allowing unauthorized people to eat them. The negligent priest would bring guilt upon the people and require them to pay compensation. I am the Lord who makes them holy. And the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons and all the Israelites these instructions, which apply to those who are Israelites by birth, as well as to the foreigners living among you. If you offer a whole burnt offering to the Lord, whether to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering, it will be accepted only if it is a male animal with no physical defects. It may be either a bull, a ram, or a male goat. Do not bring an animal with physical defects, because it won't be accepted on your behalf. If you bring a peace offering to the Lord from the herd or flock, whether to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering, you must offer an animal that has no physical defects of any kind. An animal that is blind, injured, mutilated, or that has a growth, an open sore, or a scab must never be offered to the Lord by fire on the altar. If the bull or lamb is deformed or stunted, it may still be offered as a freewill offering, but it may not be offered to fulfill a vow. If an animal has damaged testicles or is castrated, it may never be offered to the Lord. You must never accept mutilated or defective animals from foreigners to be offered as a sacrifice to your God. Such animals will not be accepted on your behalf because they are defective. And the Lord said to Moses, when a bull or a ram or a male goat is born, it must be left with its mother for 7 days. From the 8th day on, it will be acceptable as an offering given to the Lord by fire. But you must never slaughter a mother animal and her offspring on the same day, whether from the herd or the flock. When you bring a thanksgiving offering to the Lord, it must be sacrificed properly so it will be accepted on your behalf. Eat the entire sacrificial animal on the day it is presented. Don't leave any of it until the 2nd day. I am the Lord. You must faithfully keep all my commands by obeying them, for I am the Lord. Do not treat my holy name as common and ordinary. I must be treated as holy by the people of Israel. It is I, the Lord, who makes you holy. It was I who rescued you from Egypt, that I might be your very own God. I am the Lord. Chapter 23. The Lord said to Moses, give the Israelites instructions regarding the Lord's appointed festivals, the days when all of you will be summoned to worship me. You may work for 6 days each week, but on the 7th day all work must come to a complete stop. It is the Lord's Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day to assemble for worship. It must be observed wherever you live. In addition to the Sabbath, the Lord has established festivals, the holy occasions to be observed at the proper time each year. First comes the Lord's Passover, which begins at twilight on its appointed day in early spring. Then the day after the Passover celebration, the festival of unleavened bread begins. This festival to the Lord continues for 7 days, and during that time all the bread you eat must be made without yeast. On the 1st day of the festival, all the people must stop their regular work and gather for a sacred assembly. On each of the next 7 days, the people must present an offering to the Lord by fire. On the 7th day, the people must again stop all their regular work to hold a sacred assembly. Then the Lord told Moses to give these instructions to the Israelites. When you arrive in the land I am giving you, and you harvest your first crops, bring the priest some grain from the first portion of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord so it may be accepted on your behalf. That same day you must sacrifice a year-old male lamb with no physical defects as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. A grain offering must accompany it, consisting of 3 quarts of choice flour mixed with olive oil. It will be an offering given to the Lord by fire, and it will be very pleasing to him. Along with this sacrifice, you must also offer 1 quart of wine as a drink offering. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until after you have brought this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed wherever you live. From the day after the Sabbath, the day the bundle of grain was lifted up as an offering, count off 7 weeks. mountain, counting until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days later, and bring an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring two loaves of bread to be lifted up before the Lord as an offering. These loaves must be baked from 3 quarts of choice flour that contains yeast. They will be an offering to the Lord from the first of your crops. Along with this bread, present 7 1-year-old lambs with no physical defects, 1 bull and 2 rams as burnt offerings to the Lord. These whole burnt offerings, together with the accompanying grain offerings and drink offerings, will be given to the Lord by fire and will be pleasing to him. Then you must offer 1 male goat as a sin offering and 2 1-year-old male lambs as a peace offering. The priest will lift up these offerings before the Lord together with the loaves presenting the first of your later crops. These offerings are holy to the Lord and will belong to the priests. That same day you must stop all your regular work and gather for a sacred assembly. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed wherever you live. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I, the Lord, am your God. The Lord told Moses to give these instructions to the Israelites. On the appointed day in early autumn, you are to celebrate a day of complete rest. All your work must stop on that day. You will call the people to a sacred assembly, the festival of trumpets, with loud blasts from a trumpet. You must do no regular work on that day. Instead, you are to present offerings to the Lord by fire. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Remember that the Day of Atonement is to be celebrated on the 9th day after the festival of trumpets. On that day, you must humble yourselves, gather for a sacred assembly, and present offerings to the Lord by fire. Do no work during that entire day, because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement will be made for you before the Lord your God, and payment will be made for your sins. Anyone who does not spend that day in humility will be cut off from the community. And I will destroy anyone among you who does any kind of work on that day. You must do no work at all. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed wherever you live. This will be a Sabbath day of total rest for you, and on that day you must humble yourselves. This time of rest and fasting will begin the evening before the Day of Atonement and extend until evening of that day." And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to begin the festival of shelters on the 5th day after the Day of Atonement. This festival to the Lord will last for 7 days. It will begin with a sacred assembly on the 1st day, and all your regular work must stop. On each of the 7 festival days, you must present offerings to the Lord by fire. On the 8th day, you must gather again for a sacred assembly and present another offering to the Lord by fire. This will be a solemn closing assembly, and no regular work may be done that day. These are the Lord's appointed annual festivals. Celebrate them by gathering in sacred assemblies to present all the various offerings to the Lord by fire: whole burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrificial meals and drink offerings, each on its proper day. These festivals must be observed in addition to the Lord's regular Sabbath days. And these offerings must be given in addition to your personal gifts, the offerings you make to accompany your vows, and any freewill offerings that you present to the Lord. Now on the 1st day of the Festival of Shelters, after you have harvested all the produce of the land, you will begin to celebrate this 7-day festival to the Lord. Remember that the 1st day and closing 8th day of the festival will be days of total rest. On the 1st day, gather fruit from citrus trees and collect palm fronds and other leafy branches and willows that grow by the streams. Then rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You must observe this 7-day festival to the Lord every year. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be kept by all future generations. During the 7 festival days, all of you who are Israelites by birth must live in shelters. This will remind each new generation of Israelites that their ancestors had to live in shelters when I rescued them from the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. So Moses gave these instructions regarding the annual festivals of the Lord to the Israelites. Chapter 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the people of Israel to provide you with pure olive oil for the lampstand, so it can be kept burning continually. Aaron will set it up outside the inner curtain of the most holy place in the tabernacle, and must arrange to have the lamps tended continually from evening until morning before the Lord. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be kept by all future generations. The lamps on the pure gold lampstand must be tended continually in the Lord's presence. You must bake 12 loaves of bread from choice flour, using 3 quarts of flour for each loaf. Place the bread in the Lord's presence on the pure gold table, and arrange the loaves in 2 rows, with 6 in each row. Sprinkle some pure frankincense near each row. It will serve as a token offering to be burned in place of the bread, as an offering given to the Lord by fire. Every Sabbath day this bread must be laid out before the Lord on behalf of the Israelites as a continual part of the covenant. Loaves of bread belong to Aaron and his male descendants, who must eat them in a sacred place, for they represent a most holy portion of the offerings given to the Lord by fire." One day a man who had an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father got into a fight with one of the Israelite men. During the fight, this son of an Israelite woman blasphemed the Lord's name, so the man was brought to Moses for judgment. His mother's name was Shelomith. She was the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. They put the man in custody until the Lord's will in the matter should become clear. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take the blasphemer outside the camp and tell all those who heard him to lay their hands on his head. Then let the entire community stone him to death. Say to the people of Israel, those who blaspheme God will suffer the consequences of their guilt and be punished. Anyone who blasphemes the Lord's name must be stoned to death by the whole community of Israel. Any Israelite or foreigner among you who blasphemes the Lord's name will surely die. Anyone who takes another person's life must be put to death. Anyone who kills another person's animal must pay it back in full, a live animal for the animal that was killed. Anyone who injures another person must be dealt with according to the injury inflicted, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever anyone does to hurt another person must be paid back in kind. Whoever kills an animal must make full restitution, but whoever kills another person must be put to death. These same regulations apply to Israelites by birth and foreigners who live among you. I, the Lord, am your God." After Moses gave all these instructions to the Israelites, they led the blasphemer outside the camp and stoned him to death, just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
All right, that concludes the reading portion of this class, and we will now begin the review questions. And remember, if you would like to answer some of the review questions or make remarks, just press 1 to enter the host queue. Okay, question number 1. Is it okay for a priest to touch the dead body of his sister-in-law?
21.
Did you say that again?
I have 21, 1 through 4.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, it reads as, "The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. A priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean by touching the dead body of a relative. The only exceptions are his close relative, his mother or father, son or daughter, brother, or his virgin sister who depends on him because she has no husband. But a priest must not defile himself and make himself unclean for someone who is related to him only by marriage." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank
you. All right, thank and good evening to everyone.
Good evening, too.
All right.
Good evening. All right. Number 2, why would a priest's daughter be burned to death?
That's 21:9. 21:9 says, "If a priest's daughter defiles herself by becoming a prostitute, she also defiles her father's holiness, and she must be burned to death."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you.
Can we stop right here for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Pastor O, or either, well, Pastor O, what's the purpose of burning her to death? I mean, I'm not understanding that.
Purification.
I mean, you know, usually they stone them to death. That's why I'm asking. Okay. Let's go to number three then.
All right, number three.
Oh, yeah, well that probably would help if I had opened my mic.
Okay.
Now, why was the priest's daughter to be burned to death?
Yeah, because you know they usually stone them to death.
Well, exactly. But it was more along the lines of purification.
Okay. I mean, I knew it was a significance to it. I just didn't know what.
A purification took place when we was in Exodus 19 and 20 when, well, actually he got the law, but the people went crazy with the golden calf. And then
right.
Moses told them to use their knives. That time it was knives. One time later on, God going to use fire. God going to use snakes. Open up the ground, swallow up people, rain down fire and brimstone on them. So he had prescribed ways for them to die, especially the one where the ground opens up, because he would have Moses say, if these people die an ordinary death, the Lord didn't do it. But if they die an extraordinary, supernatural kind of death, then, you know, God did it. And, of course, the ground opened up. Just those people fell in, the sons of Korah, and then fire and brimstone rain. So he got a lot of ways of dispatching people.
Right.
And in this, for this sin, this is the way that person had to be dispatched.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, because I knew it was a significance of the burning, but I didn't know what it was then. That's why I inquired. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Number three, can a priest marry any virgin he chooses?
Number 21, verses 13 through 15, chapter 21?
Yes. Yes.
The high priest may marry only a virgin. He may not marry a widow, a woman who is divorced, or a woman who has defiled herself by prostitution. She must be a virgin from his own clan so that he will not dishonor his descendants among his clan, for I am the Lord who makes him holy. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Number four.
Well, before we go to four...
Uh-huh.
Before we go to four, let me ask a question. Back in those days, a woman who has defiled herself by prostitution, did that literally mean his daughter became a prostitute?
No, she was doing things sexually without being married, wasn't it, B?
That's it.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was like having a job, and that's how they took care of themselves and their families when they didn't have a husband.
Over in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you get the same thing. They use that word prostitution, but what they're talking about is sex outside of marriage, meaning that we have prostituted ourselves, in other words, cheated on God. We did it some other way. But they would use that word prostitution. Today we would call it pregnant out of wedlock. We would call it premarital sex. That's what we would call it. But back then, any woman who had sex outside of marriage, they considered that as not so much that you were a literal prostitute for the money, like that, trying to earn a living, but that you prostituted yourself by having sex outside of God's prescribed way of doing it. I was reading through here, and I asked the Lord about, well, that was a while ago, but I asked him, why do you call everybody prostitutes? We don't call women that who, he said, because anybody who prostitutes themselves, he was using the word, meaning that this is a person who has left my will and doing it their own way. You know, it didn't necessarily have to be sex. It could be anything else that was not God's way. They prostituted themselves and worshiped Baal. So that's, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Well, let me blame it on Jesus. Jesus wanted me to throw that out there. In love.
Yeah. That ain't the guy you want to throw under the bus, though.
No.
Be good with it.
All right. Number four. Why would any of Aaron's descendants be cut off from the Lord's presence?
I have 22:3.
Okay.
It said, give them the following instructions. In all future generations, if any of your descendants is ceremonially unclean when he approaches the sacred offering that the people of Israel consecrate to the Lord, he must be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord.
Well,
yes. Okay. Right. Number five. Can anyone who goes to the priest's house eat a sacred offering?
I have chapter 22, 10 through 11, and it reads, no one outside the priest's family may eat the sacred offerings. Even guests and hired workers in the priest's home are not allowed to eat with them. However, if the priest buys a slave for himself, the slave may eat from the sacred offerings. And if the slave has children, they also may share his food.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
What's the difference between 22:4 through 7?
22:4 through 7.
It reads, if any of Aaron's descendants has a skin disease or any kind of discharge that makes him ceremonially unclean, he may not eat from the sacred offering until he has been pronounced clean. He also becomes unclean by touching a corpse or by having an emission of semen or by touching a small animal that is unclean or by touching anyone who is ceremonially unclean for any reason. The man who is defiled in any of these ways will remain unclean until evening. He may not eat from the sacred offering until he has bathed himself in the water. And
okay.
It's when the sun...
No. Go ahead, Mother. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. When the sun goes down, he will be ceremonially clean again and may eat from the sacred offerings where this is his food.
Okay, but... The question used the word from what was it?
The priest's house.
From the priest's house.
Uh-huh.
And so the other answer, you know, had that statement in it. It says, no one outside the priest's family may eat sacred offerings. Even guests and hired workers in a priest's home are not allowed to eat with them. That's why the other answer was more significant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I accept that.
Thank you, Dr.
I will say it, but beat me to it.
Pardon me?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Welch, you are right with us.
Yeah, that was why I made sure I put that in there. So, you know, that would be the difference between the answers. All right,
okay.
Lolo.
All right, now.
Okay. Can you present a male or female animal as a burnt offering as long as it has no defects?
No. I had 22, verse 18 to 20.
Okay. Correct.
Right.
Pardon me?
That's correct.
Give Aaron and his sons and all the Israelites these instructions, which apply both to native Israelites and to the foreigners living among you. If you present a gift as a burnt offering to the Lord, whether it is to fulfill a vow or is a voluntary offering, you will be accepted only if your offerings is a male animal with no defects. It may be a bull. Go ahead. It may be a bull, a ram, and a male goat. Do not present an animal with defects because the Lord will not accept it on your behalf.
Amen. That's what I was saying.
That's it.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Number six. All right. Number seven. For this celebration, you must offer a bundle of grain from your first harvest, and what else?
Go ahead.
I had 12 through 14.
But it's still, we still got the same verses, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mine just started a little earlier.
Yeah, mine started at 10.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, one of you ladies, please. Is that Mother Irma?
Okay. First of all, the celebration is the celebration of first harvest. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you enter the land I am giving you, and you harvest its first crop, bring the priest a bundle of grain from the first cutting of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord so that it may be accepted on your behalf. On that same day, you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defect as a burnt offering to the Lord. With it, you must present a grain offering consisting of 4 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil. It will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You also must offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until you bring this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you and must be observed from generation to generation, wherever you live. Amen.
Amen. All right. Number eight. Complete this verse. Be careful.
27 and 28.
Yep.
Yes, that's correct.
Chapter 23.
Mm-hmm. 23, yep.
Be careful to celebrate the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of that same month. 9 days after the Festival of Trumpets, you must observe it as official day for a holy assembly, a day to deny yourselves and present special gifts to the Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
man.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number nine. The festivals discussed in this chapter are all the Israelites have to observe.
I put true, and I did 23, 37 to 38.
I did 37, 38. Go ahead. Yeah.
Is that these festivals must be observed in addition to the Lord's regular Sabbath days and the offerings are in addition to your personal gifts. The offerings you give will fulfill your vows and the voluntary offerings you present to the Lord.
Oh, where was that starting at, young lady?
Yes.
I started at 37.
Okay. I had 37 and 38. I just missed where you started reading, I guess.
Okay. I started at 37.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, all right. Now, you said you put down true?
Yeah, but then after I read it, it says in addition.
Ah.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So it was false,
yeah.
But I had the right verses.
Yep, you had the right verses. It was just false. Okay.
Yeah, I realized that when I read it.
Back at verse, to question number 8, I think we left off verse 28, 27 to 28. We stopped at. Oh, we read 28?
Yes, sir.
No.
Yep.
No.
Oh,
well, I thought we stopped at 27.
Well, when I asked stopped at 28, who read that?
Eric.
I did. I have 27 and 28. I called it off. Let me see. But you must not. I didn't read that. You must not slaughter a mother animal and her offspring on that same day. Is that my name? Wait a minute. This on page. This
it said, do no worse.
We're on
do
chapter
no
23.
Word.
Chapter
yes.
23. Okay, 27 and 28.
Yes.
Do no work during the entire day because it is a day of atonement when offerings of purification are made for you, making you right with the Lord your God. Yeah, I read 27, didn't read 28. I apologize, my good brother and sisters. Yeah. And thank you, Pastor O, for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, I was sleeping, and Jesus said, hey, wake up, look at that.
I see why you don't be with nobody too much, because you're always with Jesus.
Boy, yeah, we spent a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number 10. Moses is charged with keeping the lampshade burning. I'm sorry, the lampstand burning continually. True or false?
False.
Yeah.
Okay, and what verses?
3 and 4.
24, 3 and 4.
That's correct.
3 and 4.
Wow.
Okay. Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to keep the lamps burning continuously. This is the lampstand that stands in the tabernacle in front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation. Aaron and the priests must tend the lamps on the pure gold lampstands continuously in the Lord's presence.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes.
Number 11. Are Aaron and his descendants allowed to eat the loaves of bread at home so they can relax?
I got chapter 24, just one verse, and that's number 9. And it reads as follows. Hold on, 24, 9. Just one second. The loaves of bread will belong to Aaron and his descendants, who must eat them in a sacred place, for they are the permanent right of the priest to claim this portion of the special gift presented to the Lord.
That's correct.
She got the
money. Somebody got a little company.
She think that I got for
Question number 12.
What was the punishment for the blasphemer?
I had number 23.
I had 24:13 through 16.
Ooh. 13 through 16?
Yeah, it said the Lord said to Moses, take the blasphemer outside the camp and tell all those who heard the curse to lay their hands on his head. Then let the entire community stone him to death. Say to the people of Israel, those who curse their God will be punished for their sin. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be stoned to death by the whole community of Israel. Any native-born Israelite or foreigner among you who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death.
Amen.
Okay, I had just 23 because 23, I guess, summarized what she read. After Moses gave all the instructions to the Israelites, they took the blasphemer outside the camp and stoned him to death. The Israelites did
it
just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
Yeah,
pardon?
That part didn't include the foreigners, it's true, because the question was asked, what was the punishment for a blasphemer?
Dr. Welch, I apologize. You gave an answer. I know it was right, so I'm apologize for disturbing you.
You know what? Talk to me.
I coached her, and you know that.
Without a doubt. If you didn't hold her hand, she wouldn't make the right answer.
But you know what? The ironic thing is, since we're at the end of the question, when I look at this, and I said, well, okay, all these priests are born before God and making the sacrifices for our sins and their sins, I thank God that I could just go to him on my own. I don't need another sinner to go through you for me. Even though
that makes sense there.
Yeah. You know,
I'm telling you.
Huh?
I can go straight to the throne of grace.
That's right.
Yeah.
No middle man, no middle woman, just straight to Jesus.
Yeah, that's how come I don't believe. I don't understand how they could believe if you tell your sins to the priest that he's more capable of getting a response than you are. And you know, we know how the Catholic priests are. You're like, no,
exactly. They can't even get a prayer through. They can't even hardly get a prayer through. Yeah, but that's
right.
Jesus became our high priest, as Hebrews
Amen.
Tells us. We have a high priest who is very much in touch with us, and one we don't have to worry about dying when he's making atonement for our sins and his too. You don't have to atone for no sins, and he made complete atonement for our sins. So we don't have to go every year and wait for the Day of Atonement and then get cleansed. We good to go with the First John, good 1 John 1:9, and you good to go.
Yes.
All right.
And I just want to let everybody know that Reese is tuned in. She's just not feeling well. She wanted to say hello to everybody.
Hey, Reese.
I've been missing you, Reese.
She said she's listening and she answered her question. So, all right.
Amen.
I'm going to take her word for it. Yeah, I didn't hear her, so I'm just going to take her word.
You know all the answers is right, so...
I say hello.
All right.
Yeah.
See you here. Well, thank everybody for their participation in answering the questions.
One more question, is it?
Nope, we only had four chapters this week.
Moses said no.
Mm-hmm. 12.
What was the answer to number 12?
I'm sorry?
What was the answer to number 12?
Oh, Dr. Welch got that answer.
24, 13, or 16?
Okay, I missed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see, I acknowledge your title, Dr. Wells.
You know what? You know, you need to stop.
Well,
but you know what, Sam? I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, that was Mackie.
Oh, okay. Deacon Mackie, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know what? As we go into the book of Leviticus, would you say that this was the basic stepping stone of Christianity or faith or Judaism that they had to go through in order to understand what principles God had for them, which further on down the line became Judaism, which got out of practice in the New Testament? Brother Mackey?
Good question. I'm going to refer that to Pastor O.
I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
I love that
Judaism. You know, we were discussing the dispensations of time and how certain dispensations came and went. This is the dispensation of law. And when we had that discussion, we talked about how God in the age of innocence, Adam then was revealed and learned so much about God. Then the age of conscience, God revealed a little bit more of himself. And it was through these different dispensations that more revelation was given. So you're right. This was a stepping stone. Their step is the law. They're given the law, which, you know, God gives for two reasons. One, to give them a way to keep themselves right with him. And number two, a way to hold them, just to convict them, to show them a need for a savior. This would produce in them a longing, a hunger for Jesus. As far back as even with Moses, God will send you a deliverer or a prophet like me. In other words, he's going to be God, but he's going to be man as well. So all of these things, David said that my son who has died won't come back to me, but I will go to him. All of these were a belief in the resurrection. David is mentioned twice in the New Testament, once through Peter's sermon, and then again through Stephen's sermon, and both about the exact same thing about Jesus and the resurrection. So they all believed in a resurrection. Just when Jesus asked Martha and Mary, Jesus said, "Do you believe that I can help your brother?" And they said, "Well, yeah, in the general resurrection." See, they all had they were all looking forward to a resurrected body, to somebody coming, being that sacrificial lamb once and for all, and restoring them to God. But you're exactly right, Ollie. God was revealing himself in stages, in steps, as you said. You know, so much for Adam and Eve, so much for the age of conscience, so much for the age of even promise, and then so much for the age of law, and then, you know, on and on and on. And the same thing with the covenants. The covenants went right through time with the dispensations of time. And so, yeah, it was a step-by-step process of God revealing himself. That's why we really can't be too hard on them, because we seem to sometimes forget they didn't have a Bible. In fact, they're just now getting something that's written down. And it wasn't until God spoke to everybody that, you know, up until that time, it was only Moses who heard God's voice. You know, it was Noah who heard God's voice, and he told his family what God said. It was Abraham who heard God's voice, and he told those who followed him. And then it was the same with Isaac. It was the same with Jacob. It was even, we don't even hear God talking to Joseph except for the dreams. But we know he did. And then with Moses, God continues that same thing, just talking to Moses. Then God, in chapters 19 to 20 of Exodus, they heard the Ten Commandments in their own ears. So they know, apart from Moses, God was talking to them. And then, of course, the other 600 laws. So God is slowly through history revealing himself. And you don't want to miss that through the Old Testament. And you don't want to judge them too harshly for these screw-ups. Because they're just like us. They get to know God, and then they spend the rest of their life on earth either living for him or living against him. And that's because, see, before that, they didn't know God. Okay? Abraham was down there in Ur of the Chaldeans, and or Ur, and he was, they worshiped the moon and every other thing they could think of. Okay? But then God came in, and then Abraham begins to learn God, spend the rest of what God likes, what he don't like, and spends the rest of his life getting to know God as much as God had revealed to them. Like, for instance, it was one of Oliver's questions. The name that God revealed himself to Abraham was God Almighty. But to Moses and the children of Israel, it was Jehovah. So they didn't even know God as the Lord our God. Abraham knew him as God Almighty. Jacob knew him as God Almighty. So as Isaac, the same. Joseph, the same. It wasn't until God revealed that name to Moses, because now he's going to be in a relationship with his people, and he's going to be Lord over them. So he gives them that name that we see popped up in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord our God, which he never told Abraham that name. He never told Isaac or Jacob or Joseph that name. It was Moses who got that name, because rather than just with this one person, God Almighty with this one person, now it's God corporately with all of Israel. So he gives them a name that fits that relationship.
Can we go watch my fish?
Okay.
Jesus, like, you give some really long answers, but this stuff is not real. How could he say that when he the one giving me the answer? But anyway, you know what I mean? He's just really, he's talking to more than just Ali. He's talking to people who are over in France, people who are over everywhere who are listening, and they needed to hear it. That's why sometimes you ask me a question, I might answer it 15 different ways, because the Lord is talking to 15 different people. Not just the person. He had Oliver to ask the question, but he's talking to somebody in Africa. Right. See, so you have to learn to understand him, that he'll have Oliver raise the question to answer it for somebody in Norway. They have that question, but they're not. They're able to get, log in but not call in. Could you imagine Norway to America? That would be quite expensive. So yep. They can log in, but they're unable to ask questions. So y'all ask the questions, they get the answers.
Good job, Ali.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you very much.
So well, did you hear that, Miss Dr. Welch? If it hadn't been for the professor, we wouldn't have known.
You know, it's like that. Since I've been in Bible studies and doctrines and all the good interesting books and everything, I just want to know how everything existed and how we haven't really changed that much as far as technology. But where they, like Pastor said, they didn't have books, and so whatever God had told Moses to relate to the people, it was their stepstones, because they didn't have any type of literature or anything really for them to actually really read. and everything. Like I said, probably later on, I guess if we go through the Bible, we'll probably get into Bible teaching classes too.
The Bible on the bottom of the needle is 90 degrees.
What is?
Anybody else?
What is? No.
No? No, just one observation. Did you notice that there was a passage of scripture, I forgot which chapter, but it said that Aaron and the priest could not tear their robes?
Now
you know why everybody's mouth dropped when Jesus was in front of Caiaphas, and when he asked him, tell us plainly, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, yes. Now, what did Caiaphas do?
Tore
his robe. And that's why everybody in the room was like, oh, he feel that bad about it. Oh, he can't do that, but he did it because he feel that bad. He's so holy. Oh, we all upset. And they just went real nuts on Jesus because they made the priest tear his robe. And that was against the law. And then they proceeded to break the law, and their whole case was illegal. Their arrest was illegal. The whole case. If you studied Roman law, Jewish law, their whole case shouldn't have even happened. That's why preachers get up and say they tried him in unjust courts, kangaroo courts. Because that whole case, if you just look at it from try to get any Jewish lawyer to try or prosecutor to try to prosecute Jesus, you see Pilate, he was as wicked as they come. Just after this stuff, a few weeks or months later, Pilate got let go for being too brutal. So you know Pilate didn't have no compunctions about killing a Jew. But even Pilate came back and said, you know, dude, yo, this is too much right here, okay? You don't even have a case, and I'm wickeder than wicked, and I'm saying you don't have a case because the Bible says that Pilate knew that Jesus had been delivered unto them through jealousy and envy. He hadn't really committed no crime.
Right.
So when Jesus said, I am, and then the priest did all of that, everybody was so aghast. But before that, they were throwing up false witnesses who didn't even agree with each other. And if it wasn't for that, then he would have never, you know, once he got Jesus to blaspheme, and you just read what's supposed to happen to a blasphemer. So they felt like, oh, he blasphemed. What we getting ready to do is totally legal. Even though he was arrested on false charges, he was tried in a court where he shouldn't have even been. And then the first place they took him to was Annas. He wasn't even the high priest no more. But his little cousin or nephew, Caiaphas, was. But they took him to Annas first. So that was convinced, like, you know, taking you to somebody who's not even a judge anymore and putting you in front of him, and you're like, dude, you ain't even on the bench no more. Yeah, well, that's okay. That's how we roll. And so, yeah, that's my sermon on that.
All right.
But when you read in the Bible, try your best to get the whole Bible in your head. I know that sounds crazy, but don't depend on your brain to remember it. Depend on the Holy Spirit to bring it back. But get it in there, okay? It's easy to go to the refrigerator and get something out if you put it in there. But if you don't put nothing in there, then you go to the refrigerator expecting to get something out. Well, Eric going to be looking at you like, I think they crazy. They ain't even putting nothing in here, and they trying to get something out. So put the Word of God, get it in you, and then the Holy Spirit will bring it out. But there's two things have to happen. I'm going to stop preaching. You revelation needs to happen. The Word of God needs to be revealed to you. Open it up and read it. That's revelation. The next thing that needs to happen is you need to do the rules of interpretation. What we're looking at now is a lot of first mention stuff. When we saw over here about prostitution, then we jumped way over to 1 Corinthians, and we could say that use of prostitution over there was the same context it was used over here. That's called hermeneutics. That's how you begin to interpret Scripture. The best way to interpret Scripture is to let the Bible interpret the Bible. It's good to use commentaries and things, but these are people who belong to particular faiths, and they have particular beliefs. And so their commentary is going to be based on that belief or their theology. So if you use the Bible to interpret, use the law of first mention heavily, where was it first mentioned in the Bible? And in what context? Well, everywhere else you see that same word in the same context, no matter where else in the Bible, it means the same thing.
Okay.
And so that's step two, revelation. Then you do the work of interpretation. That's what you have to do. Once you do that, then the Holy Spirit will join you and give you illumination. He will actually, once you know where God said it and you know what God said, He will tell you what God meant when He said what He said. You'll get illumination. Now, once that happens, your life can't be like it was before. Based on this new information you got, you're going to have to flip over to that. You're going to have to make practical application. If not, you're going to have a problem. Because God now knows that He told you. He taught you, and He knows you got it because He gave you illumination. The only other step is applying it. And that's when it becomes a problem, because my father used to get ready to get me, he used to say, "Now, you know better than that, don't you?" And I couldn't tell him I didn't, because he taught me. That would make the whooping even worse. And I'd be like, "Yeah, reluctantly, yeah." And he'd be like, "So you know why I'm going to get you, right? Didn't I tell you I was going to get you? Yeah, but you can forget." But it didn't work. He remembered it. And then he got me. He was really notorious about that thing. He'd make you remember that he taught you, and God the same way. If he knows he taught you, he can't be the same anymore. You can, but he's going to cause you, that word that you just learned is going to cause you problems. And the only way you can fix that problem is to start doing that. And that means sacrifice. That means denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following Jesus. You know what I told him when he taught me that? I was like, "Well, you didn't mess my whole life up then. You shouldn't have taught me that stuff. Then I wouldn't be messing up." I literally told him that back in the 70s. I'm like, "Well, then why did you teach me that? All these other people don't know this. Why I got to know it?" Because I kept asking.
Amen. Got to know. Yes.
And that's the end of that sermon, number three.
Anyway.
All right. Pastor, we thank you for the information that you give to us. It's very helpful as we read through the Bible, and we learn more and more each time. We're very thankful for that. So if that's all from everyone, I'll pray us out.
Okay.
All right. Father God, we thank you again for this opportunity for all to come together and to read your word, study your word, and have the opportunity, Father God, just to talk amongst each other and ask questions and learn more. Thank you for this, and I pray that everything that we're getting, we use, we take out, and we spread your word, Father God. And again, I ask that your will be done, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I know y'all read about Wednesday. I know y'all read about Wednesday's people. They're like,
I sure did. That's going to be a really humdinger there, buddy.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Satan is something else. The devil, boy. You talk about somebody giving up a good job. I don't know what got him beside himself, but this Wednesday we're going to talk about the devil, okay, his nature and his personality, and we're going to look into him and see what makes him click and why he asks, why he acts like he does. So it's a real good study. It's not long. Tune in Wednesday. You might find out you're going to find out some real good information about the devil. And there's some things we need to know. Satan, his personality and power. Yeah, you know, that amazed me one time. I'll just give you this little tidbit. But when he had went at Job, I was like, Jesus. Jesus, like, what? I'm like, so did Satan have to ask you for special power to do what he did to Job? He said, no, he already got it. I'm like, so when he got kicked out of heaven, you ain't repossessed that? He's like, no, I got use for him. I'm like, whoa, so Jesus, wait a minute. Did you read what he did to Job? If you get a chance, just look at the things he did to Job. And then think about what God gave him power over. He had power over nature. He could call down fire from heaven. We call it lightning. They called it fire from heaven. He had control over the wind. He took the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans and at will just used them to crap Job's people out. And then he took the weather again and killed all 10 of Job's kids. And then he touched Job's body and put boils. You ever had one boil? He had boils all over his body. And we go get ours lanced at a doctor's office or a hospital, like where I ended up in the emergency room. But anyway, he had a broken piece of pottery, and he was, yeah, if you've ever had a boil or a blackhead and you scrape it and it kind of sting and hurt, imagine having a real boil and they all over your body. And when the pus come out, it smelled like 15 cows just, amen, defecated all over the yard. And that smell is unbelievable. I had no idea the inside of a body could smell like that. Because I asked that when I was in surgery, I asked the doctor, what is that smell? He says, you. That's coming from inside you. I'm like, well, that's dead. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we're going to look at the devil, his Satan, his power. Amen. His real name in Hebrew is HaSatan, the one who is over and against us, our adversary. And the devil, that's the snitch. That is the one who goes to the Lord like he did on Job and tell lies on us. The only reason Loretta served you is because you gave her that awesome husband, Ali. That's the only reason. Let me go down there and do something to Ali, and she'll cuss you out. That's what he did about Job. You know who he reminded me of? 45. Uh-uh. Amen. God bless you. He reminded me of 45. He just wake up every day and want to do evil. Amen. Baby Holy Ghost gave me the time sign. You know, I think she got the spirit of Sharon in her. She be over here giving me the time sign. I thank Sharon to put the time sign spirit on her. She got to pray for her. She got a time sign spirit on her. Okay, I be telling her to watch my time, but pray for her or me, one of us. So we'll see you Wednesday. We're going to get the fables about the devil out the window, the red suit, the tail, and having a body, period. Amen.
All right. Amen.
But if you haven't read it, read it. It's not that many questions. They're real good questions. You'll enjoy it. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God keep you. And if I do a YouTube thing, it'll pop up in your box. So check your box from time to time. Yeah, check your mailboxes from time to time. Okay? Because I be texting.
Okay.
I be text emailing. Okay. Okay, God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, Dr. Mackey. Thank you, everybody. And
yes, sir.
Thank you, everybody else. Wow, there's so many people tuned in. Look, Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Thank you, everybody, all around the world. Now, you know I like to listen to something, end with something special. Me and Jesus was listening to this early when I was working out.
After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Are we just writing songs? Are we concerned uniting the people to follow the great mission of Christ?
Oh, let's go! Woo! Back in the day, I was a lunchline rapper. After that, I guess I was a punchline rapper. Then I got saved, and sometime after, your boy came back as a frontline rapper. And when I say the front line, that's not a front line. I'm out here preaching Christ on the front lines. And no, it ain't about rocking stages, cause some of my engagements are out on the pavement. Yeah, I'm out to take the Bible, create disciples who make disciples, disciple cycles. That's why I want the beat to knock, so after the music stops, you can meet the rock. I pray that you would know him well. This is like show and tell. It's more than a show, I'm showing you Emmanuel. So yeah, I'm hoping that you're liking the flow, but it's only so you can know the God I'm writing it for. Let's go. After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Would every fellowship, prayer, disciples, will you open your Bible? After the music stops, after it's over, after it ends, after the music stops, what then? Will you understand that Christ is King, or will you just like the words we sing after the music stops? I recorded a couple songs, some fast, some slow, so the listeners would know the importance of the show. The importance of the show's not to excite these folks, but make God's truth relevant, ignite these folks. Discipleship is our call, but we make disciples. This is not a suggestion, create disciples. The teaching is a process, it's not overnight, and it's not a stage and a mic. No, it's life on life. Christ walked with 12, talked to 12, invested in them well. You can say that he made the 12, who made many more, who made plenty more. Now it's on you and me if there's any more. One, teach two, teach three, teach four, teach five, teach six, teach seven, teach more. This is what we've been commissioned. It's the reason why I write, so that you can hear the truth, not so you can say I'm tight. Go! After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Would every fellowship, prayer, disciples, will you open your Bible? After the music stops, after it's over, after it ends, after the music stops, what then? Will you understand that Christ is King, or will you just like the words we sing after the music stops?
So, we write this for the righteous, speaker was righteous, and then we might check for a culture who likes the hypeness. Some say we keep it crunk, some say we hype, man. We just wanna pump the resurrection of the Christ, man. We in the burbs and the hoods is hostile. We share a common view like synoptic gospels. And you know we keep a couple young dudes around us and teach them the same truths God used to ground us. This is a lifestyle, so when the mic's down, I pray people follow Christ when they turn the lights down. I pray that everybody playing the song will be challenged by everything I had to say in the song. I don't do this for the money, I don't do this for fame, I don't do this so the industry can know my name. I do this in hopes to glorify Yeshua the King. If you're feeling me, you know you should be doing the same. Let's go! After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Would every fellowship, prayer, disciples, will you open your Bible? After the music stops, after it's over, after it ends, after the music stops, what then? Will you understand that Christ is King, or will you just like the words we sing after the music stops?